welcome to another edition of the X Collective. Today, it's a pleasure to host Victor Dick, co-founder and CCO of Workwise. And we're going to talk about Workwise's founding story and how to drive talent engagement in a hybrid work environment. Victor, good morning.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Vera.
Cool. Glad to have you here. Victor, we have a lot to talk about. Obviously, with Workwise, you've been on a explosive growth journey, riding the wave of hybrid or remote work. So that's also the topic of today. Before we go into this, could you please, tell us a little bit more about your personal background?
Yes, for sure. And also thanks for being here. Really excited for today. But Victor and I always studied here in Amsterdam. Actually, all the general things of economics, and then I thought, okay, that's
classical business background.
Yeah, it's a bit boring. What do I want to do? Went to Cape Town in the meantime for a project to, do some workshops in townships. Explain on how can you start your own business through the business model canvas, which was quite weird actually, without having your own business telling how you should start your business. But that triggered for me quite a bit on I really like it to convince people of an idea, and then I thought, with economics, I'm not gonna do that. So I studied marketing afterwards, and then went to Vodafone Ziggo, which I think formed a bit for me. Yeah, that was of course the start of my career, but it's quite a modern employer with a strong culture. So that was a good start for me to see how is it going in the commercial side of a company. Mm-hmm. Rolled out there as the portfolio manager of accessories. Never expected that actually for me, because before I didn't really know the difference between an HDMI cable or a USB-C. So that was nice. But the reason why I did that was actually because I could start my own company within a big company, because I was there responsible for the purchasing up until it's selling in all the stores and online.
Yeah.
So cool. That was a great start actually, and then. Corona came actually quite soon after that already.
So this was 2019 or so that we're speaking about.
Yeah,
because Workwise only exists for barely 2 years now. What happened? So you were working at Vodafone Ziggo, COVID struck, and was that the time when you and your co-founders came about with the idea of Workwise, or was it already before that?
I wish to say it was before that, but no. It was during COVID that we came with it, because I was getting a lot of requests from the B2B side of Vodafone Ziggo on accessories for working from home. And I was having dinner with Michiel and talking about how great it was that we both worked in Utrecht, how great it was that we didn't need to go to Utrecht anymore as spoiled Dutch people, because it's only 20 minutes away. that was great. And also all the little things regarding hybrid work, stupid little things like doing the laundry in the meantime, which saved a lot of time for yourself. But the whole freedom and flexibility was for us. That we came to a conclusion, that's really what is the benefit of hybrid mm-hmm. working. Then went a bit further and we talked about, I talked about, I get these questions a lot. And he already worked at a software company. He said, it would actually be a great idea if you would have that in a software platform. And that was still a bit vague. And then, we let it rest for a week. But both were thinking about it afterwards. And then we started texting each other with, we should do something with this, because I think there's quite a problem on how people now facilitate the hybrid working model, because we're all sitting behind our kitchen desk.
The weirdest pictures and images were floating around the internet of how people were working from home, of course.
So we sat down together again, and we said, okay, let's do some interviews with people, how they do it actually now, because we know for sure they want to take care of us, because an employee is very important for a company, of course. So what's going wrong now? And then actually we came also together with Dirk and Sebas. And we, during the meantime, did all the interviews and found out there's a huge operational challenge. And all the suppliers are not adjusted to facilitate 100 different offices instead of just one main office.
Exactly. Their whole delivery model is based upon supplying centralized sort of office locations, rather than providing this at a very small scale to people working from home.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And also for the HR manager, they suddenly had two jobs because they needed to know everything about products and also the whole approval flow to finance, all the administration of saving who has what or who took what from the office. And then also the IT managers with the laptops. When you onboard a person, everybody needs a laptop to work and a mobile phone. And how do you do that? Because normally it is from one centralized place and now you need to do it decentralized, and especially when you also hire people from other countries.
Yeah. It sounds so obvious, right? But it's great that you spotted the opportunity and acted on it. How did you get started?
We were still having our jobs, and in the meantime after work we would do some interviews with some suppliers. I still know the first interview where we asked, okay, we have this idea. Would you want to be one of the suppliers? Because we need suppliers for our upcoming customers. And there was a somewhat older man who did not really believe in it. And he said, this is never going to work. So that was a good start. But then the day afterwards, actually, we already proposed our solution. We created some mock-ups, how it would look like. And we did a whole customer journey of how you should go through the product. And set up some mock-ups and we showed it to a prospect and said, this is what we have. Would you want to, are you interested in this? And they said, well, actually, yes. And we need something like this right now. So do you have a chair for 100 euros? I think it was. And then we said, yeah, of course. And afterwards we were discussing with each other, where are we going to find this? And we start calling other suppliers and, through that, actually, it really started, because then there was our first case really on, okay, this is what people want. Let's start developing it like this.
Exactly, and the rubber hit the road from there on.
Yeah, and then, from there on, it went quite fast.
Cool, and can you maybe elaborate on the services that Workwise provides right now and how it evolved over time?
Yeah, so because it really started with, we need to provide people. And now what we really do is the full life cycle for employees. So cool. We make sure that you can provide, maintain, and manage all your remote office equipment, but in the broader sense. So it can be, from your chair up until coffee subscriptions or what you want. Because we're independent of suppliers, we have our own stock, and we can customize, because there's no one-size-fits-all, we can customize everything for a company. So what we now do is we make sure on day one that an employee comes in, we, for example, have an integration with your HR system, that they get their welcome package with the company swag, water bottle, sweater, laptop, all sent to fully set up, sent to their house. Up until the last day when they go away again, we can pick everything up. We can bring it to our own storage and reintegrate it for the circularity.
Yeah.
But also sell it to the employee, for example. And in the meantime, IT and HR have the full overview, who has what,
nice.
And also if there are questions regarding some of the products, that goes directly to us.
So are these products on your own balance sheet, and are they your products, or do you are you basically a lead generator for suppliers?
Yeah, so it's a mix. We have, it depends, it also depends on what the customer wants. We have own stock, which we of course can use. But if there's really specific products, then we use our suppliers to give that.
Yep. Nice. All right. And you've been working on the business for slightly over 2 years now. Currently working with 35-ish people, and you've raised a seed round also. What do you think the coming 2-3 years will hold for the company?
The coming 2-3 years. I think a lot, actually, and I'm quite an enthusiastic person. We really want to become the European leader for within hybrid work. So when you talk about, for example, CRM system, you talk about HubSpot or Salesforce, and we want to be that for remote work. When you need to provide someone that you will think about Workwise, and there we really want to focus on Europe.
Cool.
So we just went to France. We have an office in France with a team there. And we do, of course, also a lot of things from the Netherlands, but that's really our focus now.
Clear. Very exciting. And you're obviously in the midst of this whole sort of, determining what operating model to use best for my business. Is it office first? Is it hybrid? Is it remote? Is it a mixed bag of everything? What are, you know, all the different sort of archetypes that you see in ways of working and the ones that you facilitate?
So there's five actually. So you have fully remote, where you're not dependent on any location, and could also be that you're not dependent on time. So it could mean that everybody works asynchron. That's especially for, I think, SaaS companies or really developer heavy companies. That's a good one. Work from anywhere, which actually means that there's some flexible offices. And that would mean that you can work from all kinds of different countries, but you can also come together for co-working in a co-working space. Mm-hmm. Then you actually also you have the remote first, which I just did them through each other actually. Remote first is really focused on the flex offices, so co-working together in co-working spaces. Yeah. And the work from anywhere, I think there's quite some companies also figuring this out, because remote first also more developer heavy, but work from anywhere is more you can work an X amount of days in a certain country. Next to that you have that's most often also use them together, the hybrid policy, which is just a few days in the office, a few days at home.
Yeah.
Most likely two or three, 3 days in the office. And office first, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think for hybrid and work from anywhere, that can be for all general companies where you have a lot of different departments. But you also still have some companies who would work office first, like recruitment or really sales heavy companies.
Why is that?
Because there you would need to, it's also a part of course, for example, with recruitment, you need to work with, you need to identify people also, like, how would you be a fit? And as a company yourself, you can, of course, do that by a virtual interview. But if you're really a recruitment agency, you need to really get to know the people up front to see where can they fit the best.
Yeah.
But also for sales, it's really a thing. It has to do with energy also. You need to get pumped up by each other. So, there also it's quite important. And if you're really customer facing, then also it's quite important to be sometimes in the office for some emergencies, for example.
Yeah, for sure.
Which you need to solve together.
Yeah, I can relate to that on a personal level. And also if you look at the outcomes of our salary benchmark report, which we recently published, about 20% of start and scale-ups in the Netherlands, work from the office permanently, and 80% either have a hybrid or remote setup, but only 2% is fully remote. So I think, there is a little bit of bounce back after COVID. Obviously, companies are trying to, strike a balance there. What is your view on this? How will this evolve?
Yeah, so I think there's no one size fits all for any company. It really depends on different things. It's first of all, you need to know what your employees want, and also what are the needs for the company at the moment. Because you see, some companies will be working more at the office, for example, when the information flow is not set up to really work all hybrid or remote. And if you're growing really fast or having a period where you need to co-work a lot together, then you will probably also be somewhat more in the office.
Yeah.
But if you're not dependent on each other with regarding information streams, you have a whole centralized system, then it's really easy to work remote. And I think you see it with a lot of companies that started in the corona period. They don't have a legacy, so they can adapt to all kinds of models and see what works.
Yeah, clear. And I think this is interesting to explore further, because I would be, from your experience, interested to learn a little bit more about what the key challenges are in different sort of organizational setups from a founder's perspective.
There is, of course, quite some challenges because it's also quite new. Mm-hmm. If you look then at the operating models, and you see, for example, with fully remote, it's quite hard to have the engagement with everyone. You don't really know how everyone is doing when the culture is not that people are really transparent in their feelings. So also your culture should be quite strong, so you know that you can trust in each other and also that everybody feels enabled and trusted that they can share all their feelings.
Which then again is pretty hard in a remote environment if you don't meet up regularly, right? So you need to stimulate this through digital interaction.
Yeah, true. And therefore also what you see now a lot is that companies who for example, are fully remote. I think also Airbnb, for example, said we're going fully remote. There was quite some people asking, but how are you going to facilitate them when you're so big, like the engagement altogether? Which is you see a lot of companies saying, then we have 2 days with each other once a quarter to discuss the quarter, and we all come together to one certain place, which I think is a very good development, because you still need to have that interaction altogether.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're a global company, is quite complex to bring everybody together in like 1 or 2 days, and is that enough to really foster that engagement, if you will?
And that's a good question, because there in the end, you start with you start identifying what people really need, your employees and you as a company yourself, and then you want to make a certain policy on this. And that doesn't mean that policy then is there forever. No, because it will change 100% for sure, because also your needs and the needs of the employees will change. Mm-hmm. So it's important to keep that, to keep reviewing how everyone is feeling about it and if it still fits the company. Because especially as a founder also, the needs starts changing of a company with each stage you're in.
Yeah, so there is different things to consider, right? So A, there is changing expectations from the workforce. And at the same time, as a company, you want to design an operating model that suits the needs of the business and that of your talent, but that may evolve over time, you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
And then do you have a practical example of this on how this may occur?
Yeah, because for example, well, if you look also at really starting of a company, there you see often the founders together, mm-hmm. working a lot together in the same space, creating. Because when you're creating, then you're probably a lot together. But once you start to become a bit more bigger and people are more focused on their own projects, mm-hmm. then you can also move towards a more, hybrid or remote way of working.
So when your processes have become a little bit more vested and the information flow within the company is a little bit more solid than in the beginning.
Yeah, I think exactly that, like the information flow is super important to have one centralized system where you can find everything, because otherwise, all projects will take its own way. And that's also one of the fears, I think, for a lot of founders, where they do have the trust in people of, mm-hmm. hey, I know that you're going to do the right thing, but are we still aligned on our goal?
Yeah. And I think this is a very interesting topic, because you speak about a centralized system. But, if you look at a typical startup or scale-up, they use 80, 90 different tools, to manage productivity, projects, but also obviously from a, operational perspective. What is this single system? Do you develop this yourself, or can you buy this off the shelf?
What we, for example, did, because indeed we also use a lot of different toolings. The nice thing is that most often we look at the beginning also, do they integrate with each other? Because otherwise we start working again with another system.
Yeah.
That's for us really important to look at. But we have our own Wikipedia, we call it actually, on Notion, where we put all the information linked to all the different kind of toolings also into one place. So if you start, we have a whole onboarding guide, so you also know, where can I find everything?
Cool. So I think this is very interesting learning to really think about how you're going to design your tech stack and make sure that everything is integrated from the get-go, and that you consistently develop a sort of Wikipedia or sort of knowledge center, if you will, to for your employees to access all the best practices within the company.
Yeah, and then and the challenge is always, but that is something always to take into consideration is, okay, and how do we keep that scalable? Because if everybody needs to update a page each time, that's not doable. And then you have a full-time job at some point for someone. So that's always a good thing to take into consideration. That's exactly also looking at your tech stack. Yeah, does it integrate together?
Mm, yeah, interesting. And I mean, you are you work in a hybrid setting yourself, correct?
Yeah, yes.
So can you share some best practices maybe from your own perspective over the entire, let's say, talent journey, you know, from acquisition to onboarding to retention and development on, you know, how you mitigate the risk of employees not being engaged information not flowing seamlessly outside of, you know, sort of really making sure that you have an integrated tech stack and that you consistently update your knowledge center in Notion.
Yeah. No. So for us, indeed, because we work hybrid, but also a part of the team works fully remote. So we have quite some experience now with it in the whole employee journey. When first to start also with actually the talent acquisition. There for us, it's also really important to show what, because that makes our company, I think, also very unique, our culture and the differences we have within the people. So we make sure in an interview to know, does someone, would the person be happy with working with us, and would we be happy with the person? Is mm-hmm. there a cultural fit? So one part of our one conversation just goes totally about culture. We have four pillars, and based on that, we actually have a conversation together to see, do we have a fit together? Do we have a match?
Yeah, and so four core values that you have defined?
Yeah.
Or are there any other values? Those are your core values, I read,
yeah,
right?
So we have four core values, which, for example, transparency is one of our biggest things, which is also can be quite a challenge for people, because we as Dutch people, we're quite used to directness.
Yeah.
But we have people from Italy, Hungary, Philippines, and there's cultural differences, and you need to know for sure, like, hey,
definitely,
am I comfortable with having that kind of transparent culture?
Okay, and how do you put this into practice? So you have your core values. I think many companies have to find their core values and should define their core values and also make sure that they live it, right? And also make sure that it's consequently integrated into this talent experience. So I like the example that you just gave on how you actually translate sort of high-level abstract core values into something very practical in your talent experience. How have you operationalized this? Have you defined, let's say, leading questions by a core value that you then specifically ask in an interview setting?
So, indeed, it's exactly like that. And there's, of course, there's multiple questions we put there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always based on one of the core values and how would you cope with it when we express those core values towards the person who's applying for a job, but also how does that person has experiences with these values and examples with this.
Okay, cool. And are there any other, you know, practical tips or things that you have implemented that work really well for you?
Yeah, so, and that's actually further along then, because then when, during the onboarding phase, I think onboarding, you also see it with a lot of people now when they started in a hybrid environment or remote environment, that some people don't really feel the engagement with the company. And then after a while, they already leave again. And that's a waste for both of the parties, of course.
Yeah, of course.
So there we also make sure with the onboarding, well, we have, for example, the first week we try to have like all the people you work with on that same day in the office. So you get to know everybody directly, face-to-face. So at least you know exactly
what the environment looks like, how people engage with each other.
Yeah, because, to welcome someone with in an office with only one person, that's, of course, also not that welcoming, but also to have that interaction already and to really get that feeling with the company. But we have a culture session also where we explain, like, what is really our culture and how can you see it within the company? We also make sure that after 3 months, I think it's then we send out also a questionnaire based on only on the culture, on the pillars, like, do you see things back? What do you think we can improve on this?
Nice.
Are there also practical things we could do per value to make it even stronger? But also, the Amro, of course, we use our own product, but it's a really small thing. But I think it's important also to feel part of the company, to get all your stuff delivered. For example, the company swag, etc. So you feel part of the team.
Yeah.
And further along the line, it's also more, and it's also more on engagement focus, but to because you need to enjoy it. You need to enjoy your time at a company. We have our monthly secret events where one of the persons is invited to create it, and we all come together then to
on a monthly basis.
Yeah. So and that's because it's of course hard for people who work fully remote.
Mm-hmm.
So then we don't have the people fully remote coming in, but we also make sure that they also have their experience. And because everybody should have exactly the same.
Interesting. Thanks for sharing this. Going slightly back to something that we had discussed, because you got me interested when you said, like, I reckon that even in our situation, our current operating model may change, may evolve over time. Can you think of a scenario in which you will, change your current setup?
Yeah, I think, we are all prepared that, for sure it's going to change, because now it's indeed hybrid and then combined with remote. But I think we would like to also have, for example, more work from anywhere where you go an X amount of days somewhere else. And we already do this a bit, but that's talk with your teammates, is that okay? And I think when this will really change, is we're gonna grow even further. But it also means when we expand, we will also have, for example, flex offices somewhere else, and that will enable a lot of people to go to way more places to work. And I think for us, it's now we have that information flow going around, and we really believe in it. This also gives the employee happiness a boost when you have that freedom and flexibility to go everywhere you want.
Nice.
So it's for us more on, where would we go then next, so that we would have flex offices there. We already have, I think in 6 different countries in Europe where you could go to work to work in a flex office. But nice. I see it for us, it would change actually quite fast.
Cool. I like the way you think about, that you need to determine your needs as a company and that of your employees, and then to determine what is my best operating model to accommodate this, and also keep an open mind in how this may evolve over time. And what I specifically liked is how you've made sure that, your core values are being sort of practically transformed into the whole talent experience. I think this is really a best practice example that, many companies can take inspiration from. Thank you for sharing that. Maybe as a final comment, like, what is a final piece of advice that you would like to give founders, at early stage growth companies to think about how to design and optimize their operating model?
Yeah, well, actually, I already said it before, and that's also why we're that open for it. You see it with a lot of other companies. They make a decision on just, okay, this is a policy and that's what we're going to do, and keeping really that policy in without evaluating. And I think that the biggest learning is that people should first identify, okay, what is it on employee level and what is it on your company level indeed. So not only from a founder perspective, what do we need as a company, but also what do the employees really want?
Yeah.
And take already in consideration there's a lot of differences, but make then guidelines on that policy and start reviewing immediately afterwards and see it actually the same as how you evolve your company.
Yeah, your product.
Yeah. So make it a first version and then iterate on it. Go further.
Cool. Thank you very much, Victor. Pleasure speaking with you, and looking forward to see how the WorkWise story evolves.
Yes. Thanks a lot, Bert.
Cheers. Have a nice day.